Hi there, welcome to the Nordjavan podcast. The Nordjavan podcast seeks to inspire, develop and equip young South Asians in their Christian walk with conversations about faith, life and culture. We're passionate about empowering young people to live for Jesus in a way that makes sense in their everyday lives, from family to work to relationships and even the church, making a difference wherever they go.
Welcome to the Nordjavan podcast. I am your guest host, Tasmin Hannan, and I'm so excited to be with you all today. For those who don't know me, I'm based here in Southampton and I'm part of Southampton Lighthouse International Church. I've been part of the Nordjavan community for a good few years now and recently have been more involved with helping coordinate Nordjavan Girl alongside Neha Rahana and Asha. In my week, I work as an audiologist for most of the time, testing hearing and fitting hearing aids to children with hearing loss. And more recently, I've been given some time to working with my church as well. How is everyone doing? I'm so glad to have this opportunity to be with you all today. I hope people are doing well as we've now entered into a second lockdown. I don't know what this means for you and your friends and family, but we all here at Nordjavan pray that God would be with you during this difficult time. With this lockdown being somewhat more expected, I know that we've all had a bit more time to prepare for it, and our churches have had more time to prepare as well. Many churches are streaming online and doing church services on Zoom or YouTube, so do check out what's going on online at the moment. You can, of course, always listen back to these past episodes of the Nordjavan podcast as well. I also want to say a big thank you to all the listeners and your support as the Nordjavan podcast has now passed 500 total plays in the last month, which is great news. So today I am actually joined by Shakil. So you would have all got to know him over the past months as he is usually the one doing this hosting role on the podcast. And about a few months ago, I was chatting with Shakil and suggested the idea to him that we could hear a little bit more about him and his story and how the Lord has been leading him in his life and just hear a little bit about what he's been up to at the moment. So Shakil, it's great to have you here today. It's actually really hard to believe, but it's been a whole year since the first episode of the Nordjavan podcast was broadcast. Well, I guess, how's it been going for you? How have you found this whole experience?
Yeah, cheers. Thank you, Tasmin. It is crazy, isn't it, that it's been a whole year that's gone past. I think when we first got this started, I wasn't entirely sure what it was going to look like going forward. I just sort of felt, you know, this was something I felt passionate about. Let's do this. Let's give it a go. Chatting to Sanjay and some of the others in the team and saying, come on, let's try and make this happen and see where it goes. So yeah, it's really exciting to be a whole year done and through it. And looking back, it's been a really amazing journey, getting to chat to different people, hear some really cool stories, start to have some really interesting conversations. And I think the fact that we've had 500 plays now as we've come to a whole year, it's just come at a really nice time just to say, actually, this has been a good resource that we wanted to put out for Nordjavan to have something that people can listen to and be inspired by to start conversations. And yeah, people have been listening, which has been really exciting. And hopefully people will still be interested in listening for the year ahead as well, too.
Yeah, definitely. So when you started this podcast, you had two main aims, and I guess the vision of it was kind of two-parted. First of all, to inspire, develop and equip young Asian Christians in their walk of faith, equipping them with stories, conversations, talks and teachings. And then secondly, it was in terms of educating the wider church family to insight to life as a young South Asian believer. And I definitely know, having listened to it myself over these past few months, that it's been a massive encouragement to me, and I'm sure to many others as well. So, yeah, we're so grateful for the fact that we've now been a year going with this podcast. And yeah, you've just done such a great job. And in terms of all of that as well, we could never have imagined that we would be in this situation in terms of kind of COVID-19, COVID-20 now, and basically now entering our second lockdown. So back in March was our first one. This week we heard with Boris's announcement that we've now entered this period of 4 weeks of national lockdown again. How's lockdown going for you? How are you finding things? Has it changed much of your everyday to day life?
Lockdown, it doesn't, at the moment, it hasn't really felt like much has changed. I'm in the fortunate position of being somebody who's studying at a university. So I'm up here in Durham. So because I'm under the education bracket, a lot of my day-to-day can actually still carry on as normal. There were already social distancing measures that had been put in place, and we're wearing masks, and there's lots of sanitizing. We're all very good at wiping down chairs and tables after we sat them, and using hand gel and stuff. So the only difference, the only thing that's really making a change is that our times of worship together as a part of our morning and evening prayer life here in Durham at our college has, we can no longer gather together in person in our college chapel, and instead we're having our services broadcast both over Zoom but also YouTube as well. But we're already doing a bit of Zoom and blended learning as well anyway. Everything we've tried to make available both as much in person as well as online as well. So every session that we do has had, there's a Zoom room open as well. So I'm in quite a fortunate position where not much has had to change. Still get to be in my resident household. So there's a group of us here, of students here on site who are in a little household of about 10 of us. These are the people I've been hanging out with anyway for the past 6 weeks anyway, since term started. And these are the people I'm still going to be hanging out with. So I'm in quite a fortunate position there. Grateful for that. So on the whole, things haven't changed too much, but we'll wait and see what the rest of the term and the rest of the coming month and, beyond that looks like as well.
Definitely unprecedented times. We had to get that one in there somewhere, but I don't think any of us could have quite imagined 2020 turning out how it has at the moment, but great to hear how you're doing right now. Yeah. So Shaq, we've known each other a long time. We were saying it's actually been over 20 years, so we're both in our 20s. We've known each other pretty much our whole lives and have been so fortunate to grow up in Southampton in church together. So we're both part of Lighthouse growing up as kids and with our families, bringing us along to Sunday school and our youth group, Ignite, having Bible studies together in Uncle Clive's house. Lots of fond memories. I think lots of half terms spent together. definitely remember the fact that if you invite the Namahis over for lunch, them coming around evening time, a bit of a reputation of being a bit late, but lots of fond childhood memories. And as we were saying earlier, lots of us through listening to these podcasts over the past year have got to hear you interview a number of people and had some really encouraging voices speaking into the mix of what's going on in the Norwich Farm community and beyond. But we haven't really heard very much about you. So we know you kind of in your host role, but I'm hoping today that we'll get to know a little bit more about you, what's going on in your life at the moment, a bit about your story. So I just wondered if you could start off by telling us a bit about how you came to faith and a bit about what God's doing in your life at the moment and where you're at in terms of your life journey, I guess.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you, Tasman. You didn't mention Short Fuse. Before Ignite, there was our youth group was called Short Fuse.
Of course. Yeah, that's, can't forget that. Very blessed. We had a lot of amazing different types of input throughout our church life. But Short Fuse.
Loads of great input and stuff. I was born in Southampton to my parents, Andrew and Christina, although most people know my mum by the name Rani. She does one of those classic Asian double name lives where you're called one thing on paper but called another thing by the rest of your family. I was born into a Christian family. Both my parents grew up going to church. Dad obviously grew up going to Lighthouse when it was in its earlier form of being the Southampton Asian Christian Fellowship, back when his parents and met with some other families, and they was like, oh, let's get together, let's pray, let's worship in our own language, let's do some outreach to South Asians and Asians in our community in Southampton. Yeah, and as the church grew from there, then it grew and developed into its multicultural church that ended up being Lighthouse. But yeah, so I was born back in 96 into that sort of the Asian Christian Fellowship there growing up. And yeah, it was a really good place to be brought up with faith. Mum and Dad, do Bible stories with us before bed, prayer time, all this sort of thing. So faith was just all around me. Always went to church. I'll be honest, growing up, I didn't spend too much time awake in church because I used to take my afternoon nap at like about 2-3 years old. As soon as the sermon hit on cue, I would start snoring. Dad would always be like, oh no, just got to sort of tuck him away a little bit. And then growing into Sunday school as well, I was quite shy. I remember it took me a while to get stuck in to come into Sunday school. You can probably remember I was quite shy, Tasman.
I remember that. Hard to believe now, but yeah, Shaquille used to be shy, guys.
Yeah, it's funny that. Like when I tell people now, it's like, Shaquille used to be shy, but he's like the loudest one. but I used to be really shy. It was a good place to grow up with faith in the home, my parents and grandparents as well, and the wider family. So I guess God and talking about God and talking about Jesus was just a part of our day-to-day life. And I just always was taught about how Jesus died for us, rose again for us, that we get to be with God, save us from our sins. And it was just sort of just a part of the story of the sort of faith. And we often talk about our conversion story or moment, or when did we come to faith? But there's a bit of me. I've got that point when I did, but to some extent, I feel like faith has always been with me as well. I remember I was there at 10 years old. We'd gone to New Wine that year, so in a field in Shepton Mallet, and like many a person has done, Christian has done over the past 30 years. And I was at one of the kids groups in the evening session, and they did sort of the invitation sort of saying, this is the gospel. This is, God loves us. Jesus gave himself for us, died for us. And we can share an eternal life in fellowship with him if we just believe in him and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I turn from sin. I was like, well, I thought I always already believed in God and we were following God and Jesus. I was like, I'll better say this prayer then, isn't it? I said this prayer at 10 years old, but I think faith has always been a part of my life. When I look back, I don't think there was ever a point when I didn't believe in God. And I realized that I've been in a really privileged position on my faith journey, that the way that faith's been for me is that I've always felt like I've had a clear sense of God being with me, as I'm going through the seasons of my life, that just never had felt like the need to doubt God, that I've always been able to see and feel God at present in my life. That's just been a real plate. And then just sort of growing in faith, growing in church and youth group, had a great input, like you're saying, from our youth groups with, for going around to Bible studies, Uncle Clyde. But I think of like stuff with Auntie Simon. I think of stuff where we did Sunday school with Auntie Rushni as well. Even my dad did some Sunday school stuff. Auntie Claire, Auntie Janet, man, those people who've been sowing those seeds for so many years and been faithfully doing that. And actually, it's amazing to see like the way that we've grown because of that. And yeah, so I've been really blessed, actually. You know, before we hit record, we were both saying that actually we've been quite fortunate growing up at Lighthouse. And we had a lot of people from our parents, but also the wider church, who really invested a lot into us as teenagers and wanting to grow and develop our faith in our discipleship. And you can really see that now. We're all in like our 20s and stuff, and we've all been actively involved in different forms of church ministry and leadership and mission, each in our different ways with our different skills. But yeah, been really blessed and grateful that that God has sort of been on that journey with me, and I guess with us as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I guess having known you personally, and yeah, seeing you grow has been just really great. And like you say, so you put your faith in Jesus at a very young age, and you've kind of known God's leading and guiding each stage of your life up to this point now. So as you told us, you grew up in Southampton, and then you studied here throughout secondary school and your GCSEs and then A-levels. And then I guess you made the decision to move away from Southampton and you went to Bristol to study applied theology. I hope that's correct. So you went away to Bristol and yeah, basically after you graduated, you've now made the decision to start on a journey to becoming ordained within the Church of England. So you are now what we call an ordinand, is that right?
Yes, an ordinand, yeah.
Great. So, I mean, how did you get to this stage in your life? How have you got to this point? And what does that mean, I guess?
It's felt like a really crazy last sort of several years. I think particularly the last six, I would say, but I feel like this this whole journey goes sort of like even sort of like 9-10 years back. I remember sort of like in my mid-teens, and I've got it written down in a journal somewhere that about like 15, I said I felt God was saying to me and just sort of prompting me to think, I want you to study the Bible in a bit more depth, go a bit more deeper with your faith. And part of that was wondering, I know for me, I was wondering, oh, what this is going to look like. Is it going to be using that in church? Is it going to be like doing some form of like getting to do some like preaching or some leading? Like, not entirely sure that what it was going to look like. But I just felt like God was saying, I want you to go a bit more deeper in your faith. So I knew that looking in for what I wanted to study, that I wanted to look somewhere along those lines. I think for going away for university, studying theology sort of made sense to me in following that sort of track. Theology was also sort of a good subject to follow on for my A-levels as well. I've got a numerous number of A-levels that Peter Simmons just made you do every extra A-level that you could possibly do. I mean, I technically have 5 A-levels and 6 AS levels, but
very multi-qualified, right?
Well, no, like when like critical thinking and general studies, it just doesn't have the same sort of weight, does it?
No, they don't really count.
No, they don't. So my main 3 A levels are history, philosophy, and sociology. And so I felt theology would be a nice sort of grouping of like an interdisciplinary subject that brought in those different sort of skill sets and areas. And I very much felt like the choice of A-levels felt very much God was saying, those are the stuff I want you to do. Maths and science were my strengths, but I felt focusing more humanities and sort of learning how to interact with people was where I felt God was calling me to. And I think that was then coming to leading up to the point of coming to do theology for my degree. So I was going to do theology, but I wanted to go to a nice big fancy university to go study theology, because who doesn't want to do that? I always dreamed of going to a place like Oxford when I was little. I wasn't going to make the grades for Oxford, I knew that.
That's
all right. But I did like my UCAS application and applying for different universities across the country and doing all the prep as you do for like at sixth form. So got that. And whilst alongside that, mum and dad were saying, oh, do you want to look at some Christian colleges to go for it? And I was like, no, I want to go to a big fancy university. I don't want to go to a Christian college. That sounds a bit lame. But I remember after some poor January results after in my first year of sixth form, I was like, oh, maybe looking at these colleges aren't so bad. So I did have a little look. I went to an open day that year and had a little explore about that. And I remember whilst I was like sending off like my UCAS application in sort of autumn of this would be 2013. Yeah, autumn of 2013. And so I put in my UCAS application, but then I also went to a open day at a Trinity College in Bristol. I'd heard about it. It was a Christian college up in Bristol, and I thought I'll go to the open day, go check it out. At this point, I'd had four of my five offers back from UCAS. I had four offers back from UCAS, one rejection, which was, I'll tell you a bit more in a bit later about that. So I went to Trinity to have a look around, did the open day, and I just got a really clear sense that God was saying, this is the place I want you to be. And so this is what I ended up. I ended up coming to going to Trinity in Bristol. I remember my sixth form tutor wasn't too impressed when I told her that I was going to turn down my UCAS offers. I was quite fortunate. I had some offers for some really cool, exciting places. But I was like, no, I feel God wants me to do this now. And so I knew they were saying, like, giving something up there from that. But I also knew that, yeah, I felt this is where God wanted me to be. So I moved to Bristol, to Trinity. Trinity is a Church of England Christian college. So I went there as just somebody just doing their degree. But the majority of students there are those training for ministry within the Church of England, specifically those who are going to be ordained, who are going to become priests, and they're going to be vicars. And so they're all training to be reverends, aren't they? So, you know, it's loosely called vicar school, if like in a like a jokey fun way. So I was thrown into this strange environment of like all these trainee vicars, and at first I found it quite like weird and overwhelming. I didn't really have much experience of the Church of England. I was like, what is this stuff, like liturgy of these set prayers and like the clothes and like they wear, which just look like big dresses and costumes. I was like, I don't like it. Get away. But as I went, while I was there and I was going through it, just my time there, I came to learn and understand sort of the thinking and the method behind these different forms of worship and prayer, the way it was used, some of the significance of it. I was like, oh, now that I understand it, it actually makes a bit more sense. And I feel I can get on board with some of it. And just during my time there, I really felt God was giving me a real heart for the Church of England as well. Also, you know, at this point of your life, you start asking God and yourself, like, what do I want to do in my life? And I was like, God, where do you want to take me in my life, and what do you want me to do? And I felt like the theme of some form of leadership was still recurring as I was praying. That was, I think, maybe some form of church leadership going on, but not entirely sure what it was. Whilst I was in Bristol, a lot of my fellow students who were training to be vicars would often say, well, when are you going to train to be a vicar, or when are you going to do this? I was like, no, I'm not doing that. That's what you guys are doing.
I was like, so obviously quite a turnaround for you then to now be training as an ordinand, I guess, in the Church of England.
Yeah.
So what was it that that changed your mind?
Well, for like the first whole year that people kept saying that to me, I was like, no, they're just saying that. And I remember at the end of the first year, somebody said it to me and it actually clicked in my head. It's like, oh, you know, maybe this is a potential possibility. I'm not saying that is, but it actually it became an available option in my mind rather than being just like, oh, that's just not an option. And I remember just sort of going through my time at Trinity. I didn't want to like do any like formal looking at it. I thought, look, I'll just, God, I'm sort of in this space of like of vicar school. Like I'll maybe explore this afterwards once I'm sort of out the system. But I remember coming to the end of my third year and it's like, I've been through this journey with all my fellow students. We've been working hard and we're all going to get ordained this summer. I was like, oh no. We're not all going to get ordained. All my friends are going to go get ordained. And I wasn't. And there was something about, I felt like we've been on this journey preparing for a particular kind of ministry and mission field. And I felt like I'd gained a heart for it, but I wasn't going to be able to live that out in the same way. So that was quite striking. I remember I went to get, I was going away from Trinity and leaving there. I was like, okay, I want to now use this season as a chance to say to God, God, what do you want me to do in my life? Where do you want to take me? I feel leadership in church and Christian ministry is along the line somewhere, but not entirely sure when or what it's going to look like. But eventually it became apparent that I was going to end up here training to be coming to vicar school again, but this time training to be a vicar in the Church of England. A key point in that summer, I was applying for jobs and I was just getting nowhere. So the summer of 2017, I was trying to apply for non-Christian jobs and non-church jobs because I thought I'll just been in a very Christian-y bubble. I'll try and go do something different. Had no luck. The only things I got interviews back for were two church jobs. The one that I ended up doing is I went to go work for a church intern for church in Kettering in Northamptonshire, because I had a friend from Trinity who was going to get ordained, and I went to go to his ordination, which do a service at the cathedral where they'll process it and the bishops will pray for them and say and sort of commission them and saying, we now ordain you as deacons and then priests the following year, saying we ordain you and you're now ready to be, or now they're now reverends and they're now licensed to go and do their ministries in their churches that they've signed up to go to. And while I was there supporting my friend Tom, afterwards we were just sort of doing a little picnic in the Bishop's Gardens just to sort of celebrate. And he introduced me to the vocations advisor, unbeknownst to me, and said, this is Shaquille, he wants to be a vicar. And I was left speechless because I didn't have the words to deny it. And that was quite revealing to me, because I felt actually there's something God's been stirring in me here, and a passion and a heart, that if, you know, I didn't have the words to deny it, because actually I knew that there was, you know, there was something true about it. When chatting to the vocations advisor, he said, why don't you come over to the diocese? The diocese is the name for a church area, and the diocese would be responsible for the churches and the group of churches in that area. So I, this was in Peterborough Diocese, which covers most of Northamptonshire, Peterborough and sort of Rutland area in the East Midlands. I went, he said, why don't you come and do one of our internships, work at a church, get a feel for what life in church ministry is, and we'll do some exploring together about whether ministry in the Church of England is something for you and something where God's calling you to. So I did that for a couple of years, and that was really great. I learned a lot being in a different church environment, and whilst alongside that meeting with my vocations advisor, his name was Steve. So I was meeting with Steve every once a month or every 6 weeks, every 2 months, something like that. We went on this journey of I would call it of discernment, of trying to listen to God and seeing what's God saying to me. We reflected on a lot of things and we reached a point where we think, actually, no, this is what God's calling me to. And then I have to fill out various forms and papers, do interviews, and I have to go to a selection panel. It was a 3-day selection panel, residential, that you go away to. I have to do some interviews, some exercises, and then at the end of it, you will get either a recommendation to go for training or to not go for training. I was blessed that I've been recommended to come and train. So I then moved up to Durham, which is where I'm now at the moment.
Wow.
At Cranmer Hall in Durham, at St. John's College, which is quite funny that I'm here, because I said when I did my UCAS applications, I got 4 offers and I got 1 rejection. The 1 rejection that I got was from St. John's College, Durham, which is where I now currently study.
Wow. Well, no one could have ever imagined it working out how it did, but obviously God knew. And you've been on quite a journey to get to where you are today.
Yeah.
So I guess what is next for you? So you're, I guess, almost finished now, your training, and soon you will be ordained within the Church of England. I guess what else is going on currently in life?
Yeah. I've got 1 more year left. Next year I will be getting ordained. So we'll do the service at the cathedral, where the bishops will pray for us, lay hands on us, and will commission us and ordain us. And then I will be the Reverend Shaquille Namahi, which will be insane.
Wow.
That'll be crazy. Next year, I've been really blessed that whilst I've been here in Durham, that God has brought me someone alongside me to marry as well. Cecily, who's also training here at Durham to be a vicar as well. We met here and we got engaged earlier in the summer, and we're going to get married next year as well. So still got to sort out details on what that all looks like with COVID throwing up a lot of questions about details.
That's great.
I'm going to get married next year and get ordained. Just got this sort of year ahead to sort of push through and keep on top of things, and then excited for my what my ministry and being in church is going to look like over the next few years. Everything's nearly all confirmed about where I'm going next summer. I just need to fill out do the formal paperwork and stuff before I can start announcing it, but
I've got somewhere great. That is coming up. So exciting that you have lots and lots of things happening this year, and great that you and Cecily can get married as well. I guess we'll all just wait and see where you'll end up working and how God continues to lead you in the next year to come. So Shaq, it's been great to hear about your story and how you've got to where you are today. And I know it's been a number of years in progress, and going back to how we started right in the beginning, your journey of faith. So accepting Jesus into your life and faith being something that I guess you said had always been a part of you, but God's led and guided you along the way. You've now got to the point today where you are about to be ordained in the Church of England. But like we were saying, that wasn't an overnight process, but something that's kind of been a slow progress. And I think you used the expression, God's been leading and guiding you, and you've heard from God in various ways. I wonder if you could just finish by telling us a bit about, the importance of listening to God, or how you've heard from him, and maybe have others encourage you along that process, or has that just been something that you've done yourself? The whole idea of how we can hear from God and listen to what it is that he's got in store for us. Any insight you have to offer us in terms of that?
Yeah, cheers. Thank you, Tasman. I think this whole journey has been a real learning point for me on learning to seek God and learning how to listen to God. We can do so many things for God and in a church and trying to serve and doing mission and stuff, which is all great and it's really important stuff. But actually, what's really exciting about our faith and our journey with God and with Jesus that is that Jesus speaks into our lives each day, that God has a plan for us. And part of our, I guess, the joys of an adventure of our life is that we get to listen to God and try to seek what and find out what God is saying to us. And there's loads of different ways that we do that. I think it can be both an individual journey as well as a corporate journey. I think individually there's times of in our own prayer life where it's we're just sat praying, reading the Bible. Maybe there's something that's spoken to us during a sermon at church, or something about a song of worship or music. Sometimes experiences as well, like some experiences at life and nature, or we're watching something on TV or a film that's just it's just triggered something in our mind, and you think, actually, oh, is that telling me something of God? One of the ways that I like to think about it is that God wants to speak to us every day. He is waiting to tell us more, share more of who he is and more of his heart and his plan for us. Most of the time, what stops us from hearing that is we're not listening or we're not opening our eyes to it. So actually just take a moment just and say, God, how are you speaking to me today? What do you want for my life? Yeah. How are you leading me? And what's really great is you don't have to do this journey on your own. We're blessed that we have people in our lives. And I really believe that God does speak to us through the people in our lives, that he puts people there to encourage us, to support us, to offer us wisdom and suggestions for what God's doing. And for me, that felt like having people, friends who said, oh, have you thought about, ministry in the Church of England? Well, I hadn't beforehand, but they'd seen something in me and God was speaking through them into me saying, do that. And they were going through a journey and I was like, oh, what about this? And what about that? As I was exploring, what does it mean? I think a lot of the time as we're trying to follow God's heart and plan, you go on this journey of self-discovery because you need to find out who is the person that I am, the person that God is calling to do this thing. So with me, for me, trying to figure out what does it mean for me, if God's calling me to be a vicar, I have to learn and figure out more and listen to God to find out who is Shaquil, who is this person that God has made me to be? Because God's calling Shaquil to be a vicar. And so he's not calling a version of Shaquil who's like half Shaquil and half something else. He's calling Shaquil 100% to be a vicar. So I need to figure out what does it mean to be 100% me? And that asks questions for our own sense of identity, who we are in Jesus. Part of this podcast, a lot of the things we've been journeying through, and for a lot of us who are British Asians, who've grown up here, is this dynamic of trying to figure out what is our identity in relation to being British, but also Asian. Where's that all fit? And we're trying to figure out who are we in this culture, in the society, but also, I guess, in our churches as well. And this has also been something that I've had to journey on as well. But it's huge. And I think we really need to ask that of ourselves. And I think it's the thing which is often the most transformative part of us, of our Christian walk, is learning to see more of how God sees us and the person that God created us to be. And in that, we can see more of the calling to where the person that God's calling us to be, and the places and to the people that God is taking this person he calls us to be to those great places. Yeah. And places.
Thank you so much, Shaquil. That's such encouragement to all of us. And I think what you just said there about it's not about you navigating it all alone or by yourself, but actually having people alongside you that can encourage you and kind of challenge you alongside that as well. And I'm just reminded of the scripture from 1 Kings when Elijah is there and God says to him, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind comes by, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the wind came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And actually, it is sometimes in that gentle whisper and in the quietness. And also, I guess, through encouragement from others as well, that God speaks to us. So, yeah, I guess it's just such an encouragement to hear from you today. Yeah, and like you say, God is calling you to be the best version of you, and he's got a unique plan and purpose for you. So he's called you to be a vicar. He certainly hasn't done that for me, but it's not about us trying to be someone else, but about us trying to fulfill our potential and our purpose and who God's called us to be. It's been so great to have you today. Thank you for joining me.
Yes, thank you, and Jasmine.
And I guess for you to experience being the one being interviewed rather than the host, a different experience for you as well.
Yes, it is crazy. Definitely a different experience, but it's been great to be on the other side of the mic.
Great, thank you.
Cheers, thank you, Tasman.
So that's the end of our podcast for today. It's been great having Shaquille here with us. And yeah, I guess like we were saying, he is often the one doing the hosting, but it's so great to hear some of his story and how God's been working in and through him. And such an encouragement. I guess we can all be reminded of the fact that God has a unique plan and purpose for each of our lives. And yeah, just trying to navigate the dynamics of being a young Asian British Christian and what God's got in store for him has just been such an encouragement for us to hear today.
That was guest host Tasman Hannan, who is interviewing me, your regular host, Shaquille. It was great to be able to chat to Tasman and share some of my story with you all. I'm sorry if I went on a bit long, but before we go, we're going to hear a song. We're going to listen to a Noor Jahan favourite. We're going to hear Who Is Like You by Noor Jahan's very own Sam Daniel, who at the time was releasing music as The Sergeant and also features Jay Thomas. This song always makes an appearance at Noor Jahan Weekenders, and I hope it brings you as much joy now as it has always done before. Enjoy.
Like you, who is like you, who is like you? There's no other power that can restore me. There's no other gaze that can renew me. Other than yours,
there's no other love that can redeem me. There's no other power that can restore me. There's no other gaze that can renew me.
So much for joining us. If you have enjoyed this podcast, then make sure you hit the subscribe button. Please tell your friends, your families, and your churches. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, then please consider leaving us a review. Our episodes go out every month on the second Friday of the month. You can find out more about Nordjavan at nordjavan.com and on all our social media, or email us at info@nordjavan.com. Join us next time when we will be joined by Jesse Tang, the host of the Across Culture podcast, to talk about the experience of East Asian Christians in the UK. See you next time!